The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As we head into the fall campaign, we've heard candidates complain that some of the things they've said have been misinterpreted. So before their next verbal slip, I'll give them a little tip. If you say something racist, people will think you're a racist. The reaction you get will be upset and funky to outmoded, loaded words like ape or monkey. What you claim you meant won't prevent a rebuke if your vent gets commanded by David Duke. So if you aren't a racist, don't say anything racist. If you act like a sexist, people will think you're a sexist. Don't say we're too sensitive is your defense for making lots of rude and crude comments. Here's a little rule to help you get along. None of your employees want to see your schlong. So if you aren't a sexist, don't act like a sexist. And if you retweet something anti-Semitic, people will think you're anti-Semitic. You know it isn't accurate, fair, or funny to use those old jokes about Jews and money. He won't forgive the drivel you blurted just because your daughter may have converted. So if you aren't anti-Semitic, don't retweet things that are anti-Semitic. And if you rant like an authoritarian fascist, people will think you're an authoritarian fascist. Only crooks whose legal jeopardy is deep will call the press the enemy of the people. No matter what schlock on Fox News you saw, the president is not above the law. So if you aren't an authoritarian fascist, don't rant like an authoritarian fascist. And if you aren't anti-Semitic, don't retweet things that are anti-Semitic. And if you aren't a sexist, don't act like a sexist. And if you aren't a racist, don't say things that are racist.
All right, Lauren Mayer with a little bit of advice to start off this new week and new month and new season. It's not officially fall yet, but, you know, after Labor Day, they say don't wear white. It's okay. We're in Florida. You can wear white any time of the year you want. Lauren Mayer, Lauren's Comedy, thank you for the little ditty. Good advice, all, as we try to get through the day. And I'll tell you, the day started weirdly because the Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court confirmation hearings have gotten underway. And, oh, my God, what a shit show. There's a lot to get to today, and we'll do it with Gotta Laugh because, after all, it is Tuesday. So Laffy will be here. And, there's so much talk about. I was going to launch right into what's news, but there's, as usually is the case, a lot more news since I recorded What's News this morning and sent it off to the network. So let me share with you the few other things that have happened. Good news for the people of Chicago, as Rahm Emanuel unexpectedly announces he will not seek re-election as mayor next year. So congratulations, Chicago. That's good news. Weird news out of Arizona, as Governor Doug Ducey announced that he'd replace the late John McCain in the Senate with former Senator John Kyle. Now, John Kyle has been out of office for a few years now and working you know, quite royally as a lobbyist. So he's making lots of money, and he'll be a lobbyist. Now, he may only serve a few months, or what it's supposed to be is this is a placeholder that's supposed to serve out the remainder of John McCain's term, which goes until 2020. We don't know if Kyle's going to only serve out the next few months or what. That's still up in the air. I was hoping he'd pick Cindy McCain. Fat chance of that, right? And then as the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings got started this morning, so did the arrests. Over 30 women were arrested in the opening session as women's march leaders from across the country took part in the protests inside the hearing room, which was quite eventful. I'm sure when Laffy's here, we'll talk quite a bit about all of it. But I'll tell you what, we won't wait any longer because she's got a lot of tweets to cover today. Let's get to what's news, shall we?
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Lawmakers return to Washington on Tuesday to begin an intensive fall session that might mark the final days of Republican control of Congress. There are 62 days until the midterm elections, but only 11 work days for the House in September. The Senate Judiciary Committee begins holding hearings on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh on Tuesday. A lawyer for former President George W. Bush turned over 42,000 pages of documents on the nominee just hours before the start of his confirmation hearings. The nation is split over Kavanaugh's confirmation. A new Washington Post ABC News poll finds that just under 4 in 10, 38%, say he should be confirmed, while 39% say he shouldn't. 23% have no opinion. Donald Trump interrupted Labor Day to vent his continued displeasure with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, this time suggesting that the nation's top law enforcement officer further jeopardized GOP chances to hold the House majority when the Justice Department recently indicted two House Republicans. On Monday, Trump tweeted, "Two long-running Obama-era investigations of two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. Two easy wins now in doubt because there is not enough time. Good job, Jeff." CNN's Jeffrey Toobin had a strong reaction to that tweet Tuesday morning.
"This tweet alone may be an impeachable offense. This is such a disgrace. This is so contrary to the traditions of the Department of Justice. You know, I used to be a lowly assistant U.S. attorney. If I went to my supervisor and said, you know, we shouldn't indict or investigate a member of the president's party because he's a member of the president's party, I probably would have been suspended if not fired." The sentiment at the core of that tweet is so contrary to the mission of the Department of Justice, and it's such an insult to the decent people who work there, the career prosecutors who work through Democratic and Republican administrations. It is, you know, we wear ourselves out being outraged at things Donald Trump says, but this one really is different because it is such an affront to the values of the Justice Department.
Speaking of Jeffrey Toobin, CNN's legal analyst has an expansive profile of Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, in the September 10th issue of the magazine published online Monday. In it, Giuliani says the White House would likely attempt to block a full public release of Robert Mueller's anticipated final report about the Russian investigation, bolstering long-held fears that the special counsel's ultimate findings may never see the light of day. Speaking of The New Yorker, the magazine incited anger on Monday after it was announced that Steve Bannon would be headlining the 19th annual New Yorker Festival in October. And then they announced that he wouldn't.
"Steve Bannon will no longer be attending this year's New Yorker Festival after the magazine pulled back its invitation following backlash on social media and criticism from the magazine's own writers. In an email to his staff, editor David Remnick noted the, quote, dismay and anger over his decision to initially invite the former Trump chief strategist. Remnick added he would be open to sitting down with Bannon in the future, just not on stage. According to the Times, Remnick's initial invitation to Bannon said, quote, we would be honored to have you. Bannon responded to being disinvited, calling Remnick gutless. The magazine's decision to cancel Bannon's appearance comes after several high-profile guests dropped out, including director Judd Apatow, who said he would not take part in an event that, quote, normalizes hate.
Former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick is part of a new Nike campaign to mark the 30th anniversary of the sporting equipment's giant, iconic Just Do It slogan.
Shoe giant Nike is running straight into a political controversy. The company has chosen controversial football player Colin Kaepernick for its new ad. The ad reads, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." You will recall, of course, in 2016, Kaepernick began kneeling during the pregame national anthem to raise awareness of violence against African Americans. The protest spread and led the National Football League to let individual teams decide whether to require players to stand during the anthem.
Some conservatives are calling for a boycott of Nike. Others are sharing images of their own destroyed Nike gear. A new ideas section is debuting in The Atlantic with an opinion piece by NBC's Chuck Todd in which he urges journalists to start, quote, fighting back against the campaign to destroy the legitimacy of the American news media. In the piece, Todd places much of the blame on the late Roger Ailes of Fox, writing, "Ailes wasn't building a reporting-driven news organization, but used the network to attack the integrity of the rest of the media. Ailes exploited the public's lack of knowledge of journalistic conventions and created the mythology of a biased press. Now," he writes, "the American press corps finds itself on the ropes because it allowed a nearly 50-year campaign of attacks inspired by the chair of Fox News to go unanswered." I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it is that time of the week again. Yes, it's Tuesday morning. It's the time we get Laffy on the line. We pilfer through her Twitter feed for her tweet spot and find out what's going on in the news. First, we got to get her on the line. So, hello.
Oh, why, yes, you've reached the Inner Thoughts at the McCain Service Hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think George W. Bush's inner thoughts were, "I hope they let me give a speech at my funeral, too." He's not really that smart.
No, he's not.
See, that was the joke.
Got it.
Okay, press 2 if you think Henry Kissinger's inner thoughts were, "I didn't even know I was still alive."
Neither did I.
Press 3 if you think Ivanka Trump's inner thoughts were, "Daddy must be so excited that John McCain's service is all about him." Have a nice day.
You know, that was really disgusting. The fact that Jared and Ivanka had to go to the thing, and they got Lindsey Graham to get them to finagle them an invitation.
Which he denied.
Ugly is that? He denied that? Right.
Yeah. He said it was the family that invited them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he didn't say a word to them about
it. Right. No, not at all.
Okay, so you want to jump right in because I have 1,000 tweets today.
Okay, then let's. The birdies are itching.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Whoops. What? Things are getting weird today.
I know.
I don't know. Just everything is weird today.
Everything. It's. Yes. I hate today so much I can't even tell you.
Really? Already?
Okay.
Right.
Here we go, guys. It gets worse as it goes on. But right now, a poll. This is a good one.
Okay.
Democrats regain clear advantage in midterms shaping up as referendum on Trump.
Yay.
52-38%.
Wow. That's a big margin.
That is. That's the Washington Post.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. So that's an up thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now today's little hearing that is driving me up a wall. Just a random tweet. There's a whole, you know, everybody had threads, but this random tweet jumped out at me from Melissa McEwen from Shakesville.com. Senator Cornyn jumps in to be a total dick.
That's accurate. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Jennifer Epstein from Bloomberg said, Democrat after Democrat pushing to slow down the Kavanaugh process. Cornyn says almost everyone on Dem side of dais would be held in contempt of court. And frankly, what I answered was, we're fighting really hard here, but the complicit Republicans are the ones who are in charge, and this nominee will go through because the Republicans insist on stacking the court in favor of Trump and their own agenda, and this is driving me batty.
It is really sad because I watched a lot of the beginning of it, and it's frustrating as hell. The Democrats, the reason it's frustrating is because they have no power. They're doing everything they can. Here, for those who have not gotten to watch any of the hearings this morning, here's a little sample of Chuck Grassley trying to give his opening statement, and you'll hear how the Democrats on the dais keep interrupting him with motions. I'll just let it play for a few seconds here.
On the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman,
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve
this
as
is
Associate
Kamala,
Justice.
Mr. Harris,
Chairman,
I believe.
I'd like to be recognized for a question before we proceed. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The
Kamala
committee
Harris.
Received just last
okay.
night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome
to Judge
Kavanaugh.
We have not been given an opportunity to have a meaningful hearing on this nominee.
There are two daughters.
Amazing.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't been able to
This is Amy Klobuchar.
Last night, and we believe this hearing should
I know
be postponed.
This is an exciting day for all of you.
All right, that's enough to play. So you get the idea. First it was Kamala Harris, then it was Amy Klobuchar, and one after another, Cory Booker, Sheldon Whitehouse. I'm trying to remember who all was up there. They all kept Maisie Hirono, sorry. They all kept, you know, one would finish and another one would interrupt with another motion to adjourn. Who asked for to adjourn? Chris Coons. Pretty wild stuff.
What's his name did? Oh, my goodness. The head of the committee. Is he the head of the committee?
Grassley is the head of the committee. Dianne Feinstein is the ranking member.
Oh, not this committee. Sorry. God, right out of Blumenthal.
Yeah, Blumenthal, definitely. He was in there a lot. He's
and
the
he's
one who called for them to adjourn. And when he said, I make a motion to adjourn, the place erupted in applause.
Yeah, no, they were fighting hard. And meanwhile, there were protesters who were driving Grassley insane.
Yep.
He started yelling.
Yep.
Eventually, after the break, he came back and he had no more patience left. Anyway, I better keep going here because
okay.
we're never going to get done.
Yep.
This is from a follower. Her name is Becky MSM. If Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski would stand up to him, there would be a shot. But we have the GOP that just follow their king. And now as a country, we are screwed for years.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
That's it.
Zerlina Maxwell said the people who blocked Garland for years are getting frustrated by a 30-minute delay.
Yeah, isn't that too bad?
Yeah. It's just so unbelievably frustrating to watch this. Ari Berman, who's amazing, said only 3% of Kavanaugh's records have been made public. This is a cover-up, not a confirmation hearing.
That's true. It's true.
Yep. Jennifer Bendery, a senior politics reporter for HuffPost, said, quote, this is another example of treating regular committee practices as somehow out of the ordinary, says Chuck Grassley, regarding access to Kavanaugh's documents. And then she goes on to say, speaking of regular committee practices, Grassley also wouldn't even hold a hearing for Merrick Garland.
Yep, that is true.
Hashtag Merrick Garland, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes on to say what I said just a second ago. Charles Blow said, folks, I'm sorry to break this to you, but Kavanaugh will be confirmed, 99% sure of this. Mm-hmm. The Republicans have enough votes and not enough shame. Getting a staunch conservative into this seat is their dream and the dream of the real players pulling the strings and giving the money.
Wow. It's true.
That is exactly right. Yep. I have no doubt he'll get confirmed. I don't do predictions. I don't do speculation. Mm-hmm. But this one isn't even, to me, speculation. I don't see how we have the votes. So,
yeah,
you know, we're not going to get Murkowski or Collins. They've already indicated by, you know, things they've said about their meetings and their comments on giving him a fair hearing or whatever they said. It's a big flashing red light. Guys, we're voting for him. Shut up.
Yep. And meanwhile, Bob Corker or Jeff Flake could turn this thing around just like that.
Yep, they won't.
No.
Radley Balco, from the Washington Post, he said, wow, first post-primary Florida poll has Gillum up 2 with undecideds breaking hard in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. That's a little bit of good news.
We have some good news on the horizon because Gillum should take this thing away. And it will help Bill Nelson, too, who, you know, I think is a worthless piece of shit, but better than Rick Scott, worthless runny diarrhea.
I hope you are right about that we have this one, because I'm not so sure we do, but I hope we do. This is just my reaction. I was in and out. Of course, you know, when all this stuff starts up on TV at 6:30 in the morning, my time,
right.
I'm rushing to wash my hair and I'm blow drying and I'm, you know, trying to feed the dog and do, you know, walk him and do everything else I have to do. So I miss a lot. So here's what I came in on. Mob rule Cornyn. I put Cronin. Oh, whoops. I had a typo here. Mob rule Cornyn. Project much. He called this mob rule. Mm-hmm. Has he figured out about Merrick Garland yet?
I guess not.
Has he gotten a clue yet? Oh my God, help me. Laura Rosen. She's a foreign policy a journalist. She's commenting on Steven Ginsburg from Washington Post saying Bob Woodward's new book reveals a nervous breakdown of Trump's presidency. And she quotes that this was no longer a presidency. This is no longer a White House. I have a couple on this. Kyle Griffin, in his forthcoming book, Bob Woodward describes an administrative coup d'etat and a nervous breakdown of the executive branch, with senior aides conspiring to pluck official papers from Trump's desk so he couldn't see or sign them, or according to the Washington Post. I have more.
Wow.
On this.
Yep.
Erica Werner from Washington Post also. Also from our story on the Woodward book via Phil Rucker and CoStar reports. Later, this is a quote. Later that month, Dowd told Trump, don't testify. It's either that or an orange jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. But Trump, concerned about the optics of a president refusing to testify and convinced that he could handle Mueller's questions had they by then decided otherwise. I'll be a real good witness, Trump told Dowd, according to Woodward. You are not a good witness, Dowd replied. Mr. President, I'm afraid I just can't help you. The next morning, Dowd resigned.
Wow. Wow.
That's a really good excerpt.
Yeah. There's a lot. Have you seen the transcript of the phone call between Woodward and Trump, when Trump called Woodward when he found out the book was coming and said, why didn't you interview me? And Woodward said, I tried 6 or 7 times. I went to all these different people and got nothing. There's a transcript of their conversation that is mind-blowing. You know, Trump asked him, well, who did you ask? And one of the ones that came up was Kellyanne Conway, and she happens to walk in the room while they're talking, and she doesn't admit that she didn't pass along his request. But the whole thing is just, oh my God, how are they running things over there?
I know. Well, here's another one. Woodward reports Trump called Sessions mentally retarded and a dumb Southerner. Mm-hmm. And Woodward reports Trump mocked McCain for accepting early release from the prison of war camp, forcing Mattis to tell him that this is the opposite of the real story.
Right.
Anyway, read the story.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah.
Oh my God.
Kyle Griffin, again, at a January meeting, Trump disregarded the significance of the U.S. military presence on the Korean Peninsula, Woodward writes. Mattis was alarmed, telling close associates Trump acted like and had the understanding of, quote, a fifth or sixth grader.
Wow.
And yet this is the guy who has a SCOTUS pick in the works.
Yeah, this it makes it even more and more scary, no matter how you cook it. When you read these little excerpts from the book, the most disturbing factoids are coming out.
Oh, I know. I have absolutely gone berserk today. I mean, I've been tweeting things like, "Are you as alarmed as I am?" And you know, mm-hmm. Topher Spiro or Spiro says, "Whoa, Trump's personal lawyer, who presumably we already did this one, who knows everything, told Trump don't testify. It's either that or an orange jumpsuit."
Right. Yeah,
I was just putting tweets up as they came in, so excuse me if there are some redundant ones. Sahil Kapoor of Bloomberg said, per Woodward's book, John Kelly once said of the president, "He's an idiot. It's pointless to try to convince him of anything. He's gone off the rails. We're in crazy town. I don't even know why any of us are here. This is the worst job I've ever had."
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, there's, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the picture, but watch the hearing, there's a dark-haired woman over Kavanaugh's right shoulder. And I saw someone pointed out that she's doing the white power sign,
like, I retweeted that
surreptitiously
one.
On her leg. And somebody else identified who it is.
Yep.
Let me see if I can find it now, because I retweeted that. And it's somebody who works in the West Wing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And she's involved with white nationalists.
Unbelievable.
They did a whole bio on her. They did a sort of bullet point bio.
Oh, really?
I retweeted it just before I came on air, so I'd have to go look for it and read it to you if you would like.
I'll look and see if I can find it.
Okay.
Here it is. As if Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing wasn't bizarre enough, now this. Her name is Zina Bash. She worked on Ted Cruz's 2016 presidential campaign. She clerked for Kavanaugh. Oh, my God. Yep. And she's now part of his White House confirmation team. And she is giving the white power hand signal, just on her leg, just looking all inconspicuous. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God.
And if you see the video somebody put up, it's not just a flash. She has it up there for quite a while. It was intentional.
Unbelievable.
Here's one from CNN. President Trump's closest aides stole papers off his desk to stop what they saw as his most dangerous impulses, Bob Woodward writes in his new book. Oh, good. Feel safe yet?
No.
Daniel Dale, my favorite from the Toronto Star.
Yes.
He says, too many things here for a single tweet. He's talking about the book. Mm. Maybe the wildest Woodward story. Trump told Mattis to assassinate Bashar al-Assad after the 2017 chemical attack, allegedly saying, let's fucking kill him. Let's go in. Let's kill the fucking lot of them.
Oh, my God. America, what have you done?
Well, not all of America.
I know. Yeah, but
You already got the Rahm Emanuel news, so I can skip that tweet. It was just breaking news, that you just read. Per CNN, here's another good one. This is from Daniel Dale. Woodward reports that Trump told U.S. generals about Afghanistan, you should be killing guys. You don't need a strategy to kill people.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Pro-Life.
Yeah.
Just kill people. Doesn't matter. I'm in charge, and you guys, you just go there because you have guns and bombs mm-hmm. and stuff. Just kill daddy.
Just
daddy,
kill.
Bombs kill people.
Yeah.
Daddy, I think maybe, rethink that one, daddy. If you do, I'll kiss you again. Sorry. I had to go there. Seung Min Kim said, she's from Washington Post. Mm-hmm. John Kyle, who is currently Sherpa-ing Brett Kavanaugh in his nomination mm-hmm. to the Supreme Court, will now get a vote on confirming him.
Yep.
That's important to think about. David Drucker. So if Kyle is David Drucker is CNN. If Kyle is only serving the next few months, wonder if Ducey is leaving the door open to appointment McSally. He said, I'm reading it verbatim. Uh-huh. McSally, if she loses to Sinema.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, see, it's unclear how long John Kyle said he was going to serve for. I thought that whoever was appointed would serve out the remainder of his term, which goes till 2020. But there have been no definite time frames noted.
I read one that he didn't want to run. He doesn't want to stay in office. He's just doing a placeholder.
Right. And this it would be a placeholder, but to fill out the remainder of the term, which goes till 2020.
Oh, no, right. But in terms of people were saying, oh, is he going to run? Is he going
right.
to, you know.
No, he's not going to run again in 2020. Right. The question is, does he stay on, right. you know, through the end of this, through 2020 is the question. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Susan Hennessy. And she's a lawfare, executive editor. She said, this is one of the most disturbing accounts of what is going on in the White House that we've seen yet. It's if one tenth of it is accurate. She's talking about the whole book. If one tenth of it, I'm sorry, she's talking about the Washington Post piece about the book.
Okay.
If one tenth of it is accurate, we are in a very real sense in the midst of a national emergency. And I said, well, we do know it's true.
Yeah.
We are in the midst of a national emergency and Republicans won't do a thing about it. Supposedly, from everything I've seen and read running through my stream here, what's his name? Oh my God, the guy that wrote the book, Bob Woodward.
Yes.
His name just went right out of my head then. Really did some good documentation here. It was really showing that he was being accurate and making sure he had backup for everything he was saying. I mean, all the reviews I've been reading have said you can count. And even what's his name? Did I put this one up? Even what's his name said it. Why I am so bad at names. He was with the Bush administration, their spokesperson. Their press secretary, Ari Fleischer.
Oh, uh-huh.
Even Ari Fleischer said, I trust this account.
Wow.
He's good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Trust it. You know,
well,
and
he's,
wow.
You know what? And Bob Woodward is a conservative. He is a Republican. He is the, you know, so if one of them, he or Bernstein was prone to sort of erring on the side of the Republicans, it would be Woodward.
Yeah. And, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Allison, she goes by @Ablington.
Okay.
Allison F. Just a random tweet that went by. It must be strange to have like a whole genre of books about how stupid you are.
And there are a lot of them, aren't there? Yeah.
Now this one just came out. I don't know if you covered this or not.
Uh-huh.
In your opening just then. Fred Gutenberg.
Yeah, I didn't. I was saving it, but oh my God.
He is the father of one of the kids.
Jamie Gutenberg was 14 years old. She was killed in Parkland at the school.
Yes. He said, just walked up to Judge Kavanaugh as morning session ended. There is video of this that I posted, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yep.
Put out my hand to introduce myself as Jamie Gutenberg's dad. He pulled his hand back, turned his back to me, and walked away. I guess he did not want to deal with the reality of gun violence. And there's more. Wait, there's more. David Mack.
Okay.
BuzzFeed.
Uh-huh.
White House Press Secretary Raj Shah just said, quote, as Judge Kavanaugh left for his lunch break, an unidentified individual approached him. Before the judge was able to shake his hand, security had intervened. But this video clearly shows Kavanaugh turning back, listening, then turning away. Yes, it does. And my comment was something like, don't believe your lying eyes. You know, we can watch the tape.
There's a photo.
He was not pulled away.
There's a photo that I'm staring at, this one doesn't have the photographer's name on it, but it's all over Twitter. It's a black and white photo. You see Kavanaugh, he just stood up. He's buttoning his jacket button. He's looking directly at Fred Gutenberg. Fred Gutenberg is looking directly at Kavanaugh. He's got his hand extended to shake it. And you see this look on Kavanaugh's face that's kind of like, slight disgust. And mm-hmm. and if you watch the video, you see, he listens to what Gutenberg has to say. He gives him that look and turns and walks away.
Exactly. I think that was an AP photo you were referring to.
It is an AP photo. Yep.
Yeah. So, and for Raj Shah to come out and say, no, it was the security detail that pulled him away. That's bullshit. That is out and out lying. You can watch the tape. people. I mean, this is what they do. This is like Trump just going on and lying about whatever he wants to, even though we have evidence or tape or audio or whatever mm-hmm. it happens to be. He'll just go off and lie about it. Well, they're doing, you know, now his spokesperson's doing the same thing.
It's amazing.
It's disgusting. And we're getting this Supreme Court guy in. Okay. Ian Millhiser of Think Progress, this whole thing where Chuck Grassley just pretends that the Senate rules don't say what they say, is a pretty good preview of how the Supreme Court will operate if Kavanaugh is confirmed.
Ugh, we are so screwed.
And I said, this is what frightens me. And Brian Karam mm-hmm. liked that tweet. He doesn't even follow me, and he caught that one. Because everyone is feeling afraid right now. Well, maybe not real hard Trumpies, you know, but most people are feeling afraid right now, at least if you take the temperature of Twitter. I haven't even gotten hit by a troll yet.
Wow.
That's how this is going. If I'm not getting hit by trolls, mm-hmm. then people are agreeing.
Yeah.
Or magically Twitter got rid of all the trolls in the whole world. But no.
Yeah,
that's not
I don't think that happened.
No. I wish.
No kidding.
If they got rid of all the trolls, Trump would be gone. Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, yes. said Republicans, quote, and she's quoting, "Thank God for the people around Trump stealing documents from off his desk so he doesn't bomb the world. Republicans, let's rush through this guy Trump chose for a lifetime appointment." Ugh. So she's comparing and contrasting. Uh-huh. So yeah, this is it. You know, they hate Trump. They don't trust Trump. They're scared of Trump. They're embarrassed by Trump. They think he's insane. But you know what? We really love his Supreme Court pick and we trust him.
I don't know how anyone can trust this man. I really don't.
Nor I. Okay, those were all of today's. I really went through them fast so we could also cover yesterday's. But
by the way, the AP photographer's name is Andrew Hornick.
Good.
Yep, and okay. Here's his picture. It says, Fred Gutenberg, the father of Jamie Gutenberg, who was killed in the shooting at Parkland, Florida, left, tries to shake hands with Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, during lunch break. Kavanaugh did not shake his hand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's as clear as the fake hair on Trump's head. I mean, you can't get any clearer when you have a video showing it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. All right. I really cannot wait to continue to watch news coverage today of what's been happening, because I find it all as fascinating as I do revolting. So, anyway, yesterday's tweets. Now, yesterday's were concentrated mostly on, I think, Trump's tweets that were coming out, which you'll hear about.
Yep.
But if you didn't. Axios, this is the first one I put down. Axios says, scoop, how Omarosa secretly taped her victims. And then the quote is, Omarosa taped nearly every conversation she had while working in the White House, including ones with, quote, all of the Trumps, unquote, a source who watched her make many of the tapes tell Axios. Omarosa did this with a personal phone, almost always on record mode.
Wow. She is a slippery person.
Yeah, no, she is. She's just creepy. But it's weird. First of all, her book sales have dropped.
Of course.
You know,
right.
Way down. And also, I noticed she hasn't been on air. So I'm wondering, you know, like, if she has these tapes, when the hell is she going to reveal them?
I have a feeling there's a lot of tapes and not many of them say much. You know,
yeah, so, I think most of them, I've read that, in fact, mm-hmm. that they're mostly just everyday, you know, little, hi, are we supposed to have a meeting today? And, mm-hmm. you know, just business. But still, if she has ones of all the Trumps, unquote, and that was worthy of a news tweet, then how come we're not hearing more?
I don't
know.
So
I'm skeptical.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, Ivanka tweeted.
Oh, oh boy.
On Labor Day. We honor the American worker, past and present, who built our great country, and celebrate the many accomplishments of the people. A record 156 million !! who make up today's American workforce !! And Harold Itzkowitz, tech and media guy who I follow, who is really good, says, how about honoring them with a mandated living wage, guaranteed mm-hmm. affordable health care, mm-hmm. enforcement of fair employment laws, and strict safety regulations in the workplace, you privileged little hypocrite? I hope she saw that.
I hope so, too.
Daddy, he called me privileged. Daddy, can you buy me something to make me feel better? Daddy. CNN, now I tweeted, just so you know, I tweeted this news item three times yesterday.
Yep.
Barely got a response. Here's the news item. 8 people were shot during a dice game in San Bernardino, California, according to police who initially said 10 had been shot. A 17-year-old is in grave condition and 2 other victims are in extremely critical condition, police say.
And you know
the
why?
The
update today, sorry, go ahead.
Was that the 2 people aren't expected to make it, but maybe, ooh, you know, and that it was I think it was gang related in some way.
Well, I was going to say the reason that it didn't get any play is because, you know, nobody was killed right off the bat. You know, these mass shootings, it's only a big deal if at least 3 people are dead.
And they're white.
And of course, and they're white.
And they're shot by somebody who's not white.
Right.
Oh, who's calling me from his? Oh, go away. Go away. I'm sorry about my phone. David Hogg.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay, so he tweets a photo. It's of a truck carrying this billboard of a blown up Trump tweet from 2016 that says, "Why would the people of Texas support Ted Cruz when he has accomplished absolutely nothing for them? He's another all talk, no action poll."
Yeah.
And the update here is from David Hogg. Here's the first mock-up. We are making the billboard mobile so we can follow Trump and Raphael around Texas. Can't wait for y'all to see POTUS and Ted Cruz.
Awesome. That's so great. And the best part is that the night that they do this rally, that Trump does a rally for Ted Cruz down there, I guess Michael Avenatti said he's going to do competing event at another venue the same night.
Yes, that's not. He's getting to be a little much.
I agree. Him, you know, elevating himself to presidential status kind of bugs me. I'm glad he's making noise and he's being a troublemaker, but he's not the guy to take on Trump as president. Sorry, I'm sure he's a fine lawyer, but he's not my president.
No, the first time he mentioned it, I said, I don't think that this is really the person I would want to run, but he would make a wonderful spokesperson or working on the campaign and getting on TV.
Yep.
But as far as presidential material,
no.
If he's that much of a hothead, we don't want him.
Right.
That's his selling point. He's making his selling point that he is as nasty as Trump, basically.
Right.
Only with more class. That's what
I'd rather have somebody who's got some experience working in government, who understands the norms of the United States government, and will bring them back.
I absolutely agree. Now is not the time to do Democrat Trump.
Yeah,
it's the time to do somebody with a lot of experience who knows the ropes and who can get around some of these rules and start making things right again. But a progressive, please.
Yes.
But you know. I'm tired of listening to everybody wanting Biden to run because I don't want him to do that necessarily.
No. Biden needs to go home.
Yeah.
And he needs to take Chuck and Nancy with him.
Ken Vogel of the New York Times.
Yes.
Happy Labor Day. The Trump administration has quietly rolled back worker safety protections affecting underground mine safety inspections, offshore oil rigs, and line speeds in meat processing plants, among others.
Lovely. Yes, and it was right before, it was the Friday night leading into the long Labor Day weekend that Trump announced that the federal employees were not going to get their annual raises because we're in the best economy this country has ever had, so we can't afford to give federal workers their due raises.
Right. Isn't that just perfect? I mean, yes, let's rake in the cash and give it to the rich people, not the people who deserve it.
Yep.
The Hill. Manafort's daughter files paperwork to change her last name.
Yes, and I would too.
I would too. She says, "I am a passionate liberal and a registered Democrat, and this has been difficult for me. Although I am the daughter of, I am very much my own person, and hopefully people will realize that." I had somebody tweet me back, "Yeah, but she didn't mind taking his money until now." I don't know if that's the case.
Well,
I said,
we don't know what the case is. Right.
Yeah, well.
Don't know.
And plus, he is her father, so.
Yep.
Yeah, she'll take his money. Trump tweeted, okay, now a whole lot of tweets are about this.
Yes.
Trump tweeted, there's 2 tweets that I jammed together here. 2 long-running Obama-era, you read you talked about this a little bit. Obama-era investigations of two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. Two easy wins now in doubt because there is not enough time. Good job, Jeff. And then he goes on with another tweet. The Democrats, none of whom voted for Jeff Sessions, must love him now. Same thing with Lion James Comey. The Dems all hated him, wanted him out, thought he was disgusting until I fired him, in all caps. Mm-hmm. Immediately, he became a wonderful man, a saint-like figure, in fact, really sick. Okay, so then Daniel Dale. Daniel Dale, he says, the president is now arguing that the Justice Department should make its justice decisions based on what's best for the Republican Party. The congressman Trump is talking about are New York's Chris Collins, charged with insider trading, and California's Duncan Hunter, charged with using more than $200,000 in campaign funds to pay for personal expenses. Both were indicted in August. Hunter's alleged criminal acts date back to the Obama era. Collins' alleged criminal acts occurred in mid-2017, so that doesn't seem to be an, quote, Obama-era investigation. Hmm. He goes on to say, and these were all in tweets, by the way.
Right.
It is not hard to see Trump's argument here. People accused of breaking the law should not get in legal trouble if such trouble would hurt the Republicans, eventually being applied to himself. See, that's the point of all this. He wants this all to apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Blake of the Washington Post said, this makes no sense. Collins' insider trading allegation is from 2017.
That's right.
When he was at Trump's White House event.
That's right. There's pictures, there's video of him standing in the Rose Garden, you know, texting his family saying, sell now.
Exactly. They've got it. They've got images. They've documented it. Oh, God. Phil Rucker of Washington Post says Trump is arguing here that the attorney general should have politicized the Justice Department by timing federal investigations to benefit Republicans in midterm elections. And then Renato Mariotti, CNN's legal analyst, says, are you implying that it's the attorney general's job to quash investigations of your political allies? Andrew Feinberg reacted. He's a White House correspondent. He said, if there was ever any doubt that Trump sees the Justice Department as a weapon to protect Republicans and hurt Democrats, not as a law enforcement entity, he just eliminated it.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead. Just how he always says, you know, he wants, where's his Roy Cohn? He wants someone who's going to protect him like Eric Holder protected Obama. How did Eric Holder protect Obama? I want someone to ask him the question. What did Eric Holder do that protected Obama? What did Obama do that needed protection?
Yeah, exactly. What scandal? Was it with the tan suit that he wore?
Must have been.
That was it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he had ice slushies in Hawaii because he was born in Kenya. Maybe that was it. Maybe he had adorable daughters and a great dog and a beautiful wife with beautiful, strong arms. Maybe that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Jim Sciutto from CNN. Any comment on their alleged crimes he's talking about? Namely, insider trading and misuse of campaign funds. I'm shaking my papers. I talk out like in rage here. Empty Wheel said Trump trying to expand the 60-day window outside of the 60-day window.
Yeah. And, you know, now they're saying, I'm hearing all kinds of talk, that 60-day window doesn't even apply because nobody who is involved in any of this is up for re-election. It's a moot point.
It's irrelevant. Yes. He brought it up to. It's just like with the FISA warrants and the dossier and all that. Mm-hmm. He makes things up and he makes them legal issues when they're not. And then he goes through the, you know, that he has Nunes go through the paces and his other committee guys, Meadows and everybody else go through the paces of investigating all these illegal things. And they are always found to be not illegal and there's no big deal, but he's then taken over the headlines and riled up his base and gotten more Republicans interested in it, taken away from things that we need, you know, taken attention away from the important stuff. So that's his MO. That's what he's doing here. Neil Katyal, a Supreme Court lawyer that everyone should be familiar with if they're not, this one comes as a wolf. Such politicization. Did I get that right? I always get
close
it wrong.
Enough.
Of law enforcement is unforgivable. The whole point of Sessions doing these indictments is to show law enforcement above politics. Mm-hmm. If he can do this to law enforcement, What would stop him from trying to do this to the Supreme Court? This tweet is all you need to know about why Comey was fired.
Yep.
Isn't that the truth? And yep. This guy, Neil Katyal, you should follow him, everybody. It's K-A-T-Y-A-L on Twitter. He argued the immigration, the Muslim ban.
Uh-huh.
He argued that to the Supreme Court. He wrote the rule what was the rule he wrote?
I don't know.
Can you Google? Can someone Google? Neil Katyal wrote the rule. He wrote the rule we all refer to, and it's out of my head right now. So somebody look it up and chat at us, please. David Itzkoff of the New York Times said, so hardworking, he obstructs justice even on federal holidays.
He wrote Mueller's rules? Who drafted the regulations that govern Mr. Mueller's? Hold on, as I'm opening the page.
Thank you. I'm glad you're doing that.
Shut up. Advertisement closed. Okay. Neil Katyal, a lawyer who drafted the regulations that govern Mr. Mueller's investigation.
Yes, but
set of rules devised to allow for the investigation of a sitting president.
More. There's more than that. I just know it.
Let me keep looking.
It's a major thing that, he went on TV and explained it over and over again when the Republicans were attacking him. Mm. Or not him, but attacking whatever it was he did so well.
I'm looking.
Okay, I'll reach to the next one while you do that.
Okay.
LOL GOP, our buddy said, now every Republican member of Congress should be asked, do you agree with the president that if you or your fellow Republicans are going to be charged with a crime, it should happen after the November 6th election?
Wait, say again?
I'm sorry. Did you find it?
No, not yet.
He said, well, Neil Katyal wrote that Gorsuch would be a splendid justice. I'm not so sure that he cared, he was pushing for him to be. He might have said he had the qualifications. We'll see. But whatever. Even if he did, he also wrote a really good rule. Okay. LOL GOP said, to repeat, now every Republican member of Congress should be asked, do you agree with the president that if you or your fellow Republicans are going to be charged with a crime, it should happen after the November 6th election? That's what he said.
Okay. Do you agree with the president that if you or your fellow Republicans are going to be charged with a crime, it should happen?
It should happen after. So they're making the, saying if it's good for the goose, good for the gander.
Gotcha. Yes.
Manu Raju of CNN says, Speaker Ryan's spokesperson, Ashley Strong, sends a long statement responding to question about Trump's tweet attacking Sessions for indictments of Hunter and Collins because they're Republicans. Quote, DOJ should always remain apolitical, and the speaker has demonstrated he takes those charges seriously. Okay, so Ryan is saying that the DOJ should always remain apolitical, yet he gave a pass, or he gave his okay to all the sabotage that's been happening, whether it be from Nunes or from anybody else on the committee of investigating Trump in the House. You have to go through Paul Ryan in order to get the okay to do anything
right
through that committee.
Yeah.
And anything that Nunes did had to go through Ryan.
Uh huh.
So he did the midnight ride thing where he was passing along information when he shouldn't have, that he got from the White House, and then he gave it back to the White House, and all the stuff that was going on and all the fake investigations that all turned out to be nothing, that keep having to be rebutted by the Democrats, everything that's been happening. Ryan has to put his stamp of approval on that.
Right. So
now he's saying the DOJ should always remain apolitical.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he isn't.
Right. Well, of course not.
Right. But I'm saying, but to the nth degree here, it's not just, this isn't just some Republican saying that. The Speaker Ryan's spokesperson saying that. Of all people, he was the one who said, sure, go ahead, Nunes, sabotage away. Or sure, go ahead. Who were the other guys? I can't think of all their names now. Just go ahead and don't allow subpoenas for people to come in and raise their hand and speak under oath. Go ahead and end the committee's work because we don't need all of that. Has to get the okay of Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he says, yes, DOJ should always remain apolitical, the speaker has demonstrated he takes these charges seriously. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's just counting the days until he's done.
Absolutely.
Paul Ryan. And Susan, can start collecting the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly. As another swamp person.
Yep.
Susan Glasser from The New Yorker said, the fever will break eventually, Senator Flake told me outside the cathedral. It has to. And then LOL GOP said, fact check. Jeff Flake votes with the fever 90% of the time.
You can say that again.
Okay. Jeff Flake votes. Chelsea Handler said, happy Labor Day to everyone in Trump's administration enjoying a day off from a job they don't do.
Mm-hmm. By the way, here's the only thing I can find about the writing is that Neil Katyal drafted the special counsel regulations as a young lawyer. So the special counsel regulations under which Mueller is operating.
Oh, that yes.
That's
yes.
what Neil Katyal
there were, I
wrote.
Guess specifics came up when he was on TV and they were talking about what the arguments were and that the Republicans were fighting at every step of the way. And then he came back and said, no, here is the rule that I wrote. And I wish I could be more specific with you, but I can't be, I'd have to read the article that you're reading. Darren Revelle of ESPN, mm-hmm. Nike. You know about this, but Nike had been paying Colin Kaepernick all along, waiting for the right moment. That moment is now. As he becomes a face of the company's 30th anniversary of the Just Do It campaign. And Patton Oswalt.
This is wonderful.
Colin Kaepernick. I said his name completely wrong. Uh-huh. Sorry. Yes, it is. And Patton Oswalt said, this is terrible for America. Now what shoes is Trump supposed to wear while he's doing CrossFit?
That's
it is
funny.
Fantastic.
That, yes. And what a surprise. So good for them for keeping it secret. I mean, it's not that I wander in those circles, but still, I never got a whiff of this. And I just love it. And I love all the stupid idiots who are cutting up and burning their Nike shoes. It's like when they were destroying their Keurig machines, right? You know, breaking something or burning it after you've already paid for it is kind of counterproductive.
It's so stupid. It's just counterproductive. It's stupid. You just threw away your money, you jerk. Give your shoes to the poor.
That's right.
Let them wear them.
That's right.
Oh, God. Aparna Nacherla, I hope I said that right. She's a comedian. I'm so sorry if I mangled her name, too. No white nationalists after Labor Day.
There you go.
Again, Jeffrey Gooderman. This is a different mental health counselor, author. Trump derangement syndrome is a condition that afflicts Trump supporters, not his detractors. Yeah. Key features of TDS include irrational subservience to authority, deficits in critical thinking, and morbid investment of one's personal identity in Donald J. Trump.
That's interesting. So that's Trump derangement syndrome. What we have is just Trump syndrome. Being sick every time you hear the mention of his name.
Yeah. And having to take some medication or other drinking substance.
Yes.
Roxanne Gay, a feminist, said the Bannon event is being held at the New York Society for Ethical Culture. Well, words holding meaning had a good run.
Yeah. Well, and now that's not happening.
Right. I'm just reading reaction from yesterday. So yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad to hear that. Dr. Phil Goff, justice nerd, he says, the New Yorker had to know this would happen. Jim Carrey, Apatow, and Mulaney so far, meaning they weren't going to appear. More will surely follow. And when Bannon is kicked, he will be relevant for another news cycle and have another trophy of outrage. If y'all didn't see this coming, you're willfully blind.
Okay.
And then my last tweet was just that it was called off. So, that they.
Yeah. Well, and what David Remnick wrote to the staff is, I don't want well-meaning readers and staff members to think that I've ignored their concerns. I've thought this through and talked to colleagues and I've reconsidered. I've changed my mind. There's a better way to do this. Our writers have interviewed Steve Bannon for The New Yorker before. And if the opportunity presents itself, I'll interview him in a more traditionally journalistic setting as we first discussed and not on stage. And good, because he didn't deserve to be up on a stage. He doesn't deserve to be feted. He doesn't deserve to be celebrated. He needs to be ostracized.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. I'm orgasming on that. A lot of people are saying, well, free speech. But when somebody is a Nazi or as close to a Nazi as you can get, that's not someone you want to give a platform to.
No. And Steve Bannon has been, you know, trying to guide the discussion, the debate. He's been trying to rig the system for Donald Trump, you know, for as long as, well, we've known his name, unfortunately, or longer.
No.
He should not be celebrated. So
absolutely.
Good for them for seeing the error in their ways and disinviting him.
Absolutely right. I was very happy to hear that, read it, and celebrate it with you.
All right. With that, we've made it to the end of another Tuesday show. Gotta laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta, GOTTALAFF, and at NicoleSandler.com at Laffy'sPlace.com.
I can't believe we got through all that, and I will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.